We now return to The French Lieutenant's Woman.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hey, the hair, the free, don't say that, hurry, the hurry, hey, hey, I heard, hey, I have a hurry, hurry, hey, 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 oh, hey, hey, oh, hey, hey.
Do you know what I'm doing, Josh?
I assume St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day. Very good.
Yes.
Fantastic.
And you know, Mike, today his name is Josh Osroka.
As you are Rob O'Spiewak.
I am, indeed, because today... The devil knows you're Irish or something like
and
right?
Major What's League Baseball is owe money because every stadium is selling green stuff.
Yeah,
just
and I missed
that
out.
Logo on.
When I went in the in the gift shop over the weekend, I missed out on my Red Sox St. Patty's Day hat. So my kid has one and I don't. And I'm really, really, really jealous. Well, the only size
next year.
They only had size 3 3/4. What's the deal
three?
With that?
No, seven and three quarters.
Seven and three quarters
would be like a baby would be like for Beetlejuice. Yeah,
seven and 3/4, and I was. I mean,
you could
like,
almost wear that,
but I was crestfallen. Why seven and 3/4? That means every hat has been sold. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
the greedy baseball fans.
Everyone's got your size head. I had the same issue. I wanted the new spring training hat. Couldn't find it in my size. Couldn't find like any shirts I wanted in my size.
They do it on purpose. They do it on purpose because they know they're gonna create that urgency, and that's the way it was.
I am wearing something else.
I am wearing my my green stripes today for St. Patrick's Day, mm-hmm. And you know, Rob, I have to share with you that this holiday no longer has its sizzle that it used to have for me. You know, it was a big day for me
right.
back in the day. But my mom passed on March 18th, and ever since then, I haven't had it. I haven't had it. You know, and February, March are, a lot of people, I was talking to people that seems to be, a lot of what you experience goes around during these days, beginning part of the year. That's why it's kind of the doldrums that they have.
St. Patrick's Day holiday can be fun if you make it. I remember I used to tell my kids that if you don't wear green today, a leprechaun will kill you. And so you just have to make it fun.
That's sweet. I wish more parents did that. I remember growing up in high school, not high school, elementary school in particular, and really, really taking it personally if anyone wore a particular color that may be being displayed on this very show today.
Is it bad to wear?
Oh, something Oriole centric.
Yes, it was. It was like I was told that it is a middle finger to the Irish to wear orange on Saint. Now people would say because you know that song. Oh, my father, he wore orange, and my mother, she wore green. That green.
You know
is,
that song, don't you, Josh?
It's my alarm clock.
Oh, it was the chilliest that I have ever seen. My father, he was orange, and my mother, she was green. That's a Protestant Catholic thing, I believe that it is.
Okay,
I'm not sure what the song is, but I remember being really like brainwashed, probably at home. It had to be at home about being concerned mm-hmm. about seeing orange, and I'd always really I remember from elementary school being really pissed off if I saw orange. It would really irritate me. You know, that's what
wow.
I remember.
So
the
you've had issues for a long time.
Well, I've had fighting.
That
issues.
Really shouldn't bother you.
And then, of course, my dream was to open an Irish pub, and I did that. And those are some of the greatest St. Patrick's Days I ever had.
I do remember
the Irish flag is orange, right?
Yeah, but the
isn't
but
it
the
green, white, and
but
orange?
But it's the wearing of the green is what you do on St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. Is there any green in your Oriole shirt?
I don't think there's green in my luggage.
You are still on the road.
Yeah, I am.
He's in a day's end.
I'm in a day's end.
You're at a day's inn are you still in Sarasota?
I wish. I'm in Lakeland.
Lakeland, Florida. Who trains in Lakeland?
Also great.
The Tigers.
The Tigers. The Tigers. The Tigers
Tigers of Detroit.
Detroit is sad. Lakeland. What can you tell me about Lakeland? Lots of lakes, right? That's about
You might as well.
Do they
be
make
in
the
Orlando.
Butter there?
You might as well be like in Orlando. Hold on, Rob. You might as well be in Orlando because it's just.
It's in the middle of the state.
It's the middle of the state. There are some lakes, but it's a lot of double wides, right?
Yeah.
It's. I mean, I've driven through Lakeland. It's kind of meh.
It's. You know what it is? It's the Lumberton of Florida.
The what?
People just drive Lumberton. If you ever drive up 95, Lumberton is halfway where everyone stops.
Isn't Lumberton South Carolina? Isn't that where it is?
I think it's Lumberton. No, it's North Carolina.
Is it North Carolina?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is Lakeland a destination for horny seniors? Because I know
can
in the
turn
center
Rob
of the
down
state.
A little bit, just a little bit, or he can go off mic a little bit, just a wee bit. Okay,
sorry
go ahead,
that.
Rob.
The they always say that they're those central parts of Florida where old people go when they retire, and then they have crazy sex. Is that what Lakeland is?
That's the Villages.
That's the Villages.
Oh, okay. It's not the
little
same.
It's also outside of Tampa, Orlando, that area up there. But the Tigers, you know, Fort Myers, kind of a cool place to train. Red Sox train down here. Sarasota, kind of a, you know, a nice Gulf Coast area for the Orioles to train in. And then you go to Lakeland. That's why the Red Sox moved out of, like, Winter Haven. Because Winter Haven was in the middle part of the state. It was all, like, bleh, like that. But they didn't go to, like, resorty areas. They just went to places where they could grow grass. I think that's really what they did in spring training back in the old days.
What does Detroit, the club of Detroit, what do they offer? Do they have any historical significance? Did any great players come from Detroit?
Oh, my God, yes.
Okay, I'm just
curious. What is this, baseball 101 we're doing for you right now? What, you mean the Detroit Tigers franchise?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of I can't think of any player that jumps to mind that plays
Norm Cash, Mickey Lolich.
Don't know. Okay, I just didn't know them. So I'm not a baseball fan.
When I'm trying to pull that, I'm really trying to like pull great. I'm trying to pull the great Detroit Tigers. Mm-hmm. I know I'm missing like the greatest hitter in the history of Detroit, and I'm getting no help. That's when Josh starts looking around the room.
Someone says Ty Cobb. Was Ty Cobb a Tiger?
I don't know if Ty Cobb was a Tiger.
He was an anti-Semite, a hateful man. I know
that.
You
remember that stuff.
Yeah,
you remember all the negatives about sports.
Batted 1,000 on anti-Semitism. Mr. Ty Cobb. Because, you know, if you think of other teams, and I know it's a heritage team, it's been around forever, nothing pops to mind for me, even in
Miguel
a pop culture
Cabrera,
way.
Miguel Justin Cabrera.
Norlander.
Okay, I've heard of that. Okay. All right.
They had an ex-con. I know that the Detroit Tigers had an ex-con on their roster.
Was it Liddy?
No, it was not G. Gordon Liddy. But you know what? When you bring it up, the not a real heritage of championships. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, you have more, Josh?
Ron LaFleur was the ex-con.
Ron LaFleur was the ex-con. That was that big, tough, mean guy. That's Ron LaFleur.
I don't know. Did you mention Alkaline?
Alkaline, not alkaline like a battery.
No,
Alkaline.
Well, whatever. He was
before
my time.
No, it's not whatever. His name was Alkaline, Orioles fan. If it was Boog, if somebody said Boog Powell, you wouldn't be happy about that, would you?
It'd be perfectly fine.
Now, is he mellower because he's in the hotel room? Is that why? Is that because he's got?
Here's my take.
He's got a different energy coming out of his hotel room.
It's my hot take is that he told me that he's in the hotel room because the internet is wicked fast in there, like 300 up and down. But
it's another good connection, though. Got to give him credit for that.
But there's also something else.
It's the only good thing at this hotel. Yeah. You seem
he's not alone.
You seem a tad.
All right. Look.
You seem a tad put upon.
I'm alone. Well, I'm being told to be quiet. Like I'm going to disturb neighbors.
Is your wife? Let me ask a question. Let me ask Kelly a question. Does she know that this is how I feed my? This is the only way that I feed my family.
What about
right
my
here.
Family?
Does she get it? Well, your family, but you have two jobs.
Yes, and that's why she just took Owen out for breakfast. They just left.
That's good.
I'll tell you, part of it is, I probably will disturb the neighbors because this is the worst hotel I ever stayed in. I was woken up at least once an hour by noises. The bed's uncomfortable, so maybe I'm in a bad mood this morning.
Are you going to a game today?
50-50. The weather
sucks. Because of the weather? All right.
It's supposed to be like 50 degrees, and all I did was pack shorts.
I'm looking at the weather. The weather's schizophrenic everywhere in the United States right now.
It is.
I'm looking at our weather down here, and it seems to be okay for St. Patrick's Day. But then I see, no, it seems all right, but it doesn't look all right. It looks like dangerous also, right now.
When did spring training tickets become outrageously expensive?
Oh, no.
Are they expensive now?
I didn't look at the temperatures.
Oh, the temperatures are, what is it? What do you have down there, 45?
I got 59 degrees at noon. I haven't played golf in a week and 2 days. Oh, no, horrible. You know, there are people around the corner that are going, F you, around the country, not around the corner, you dipshit.
Mike, I got a high today of 59 degrees, and it says 57 degrees at noon today for the game. I don't know about this.
I didn't even look at the winds.
High of 70 degrees in Aventura, which is just outside of Miami, but cloudy today. So no beach day today.
What is your high? What is your high?
70.
Oh, so your side of the state's okay. You're going to be all right today. Oh, my God. I'm not happy about this. I am not happy. Oh, God, I got to
We have clouds
up.
And rain the rest of the week, too, though. Are you getting, like, falling weather? Or
I don't know.
Cold weather?
I hate talking about the weather on the show because it's like, you know, the show's got a really, really long tail. But anyway, getting back to the whole St. Patrick's Day thing, I've had my great St. Patrick's Days. I've had my identity of being Irish be top shelf. And now on a day like this, I would say I come in here. I had forgotten to wear green, which is coming full circle where the holiday is not what it used to be. I did a term paper or actually a journalism product for my broadcast journalism degree at American University. And it was print journalism that I did. So I did a news story on Irish pubs in Washington, D.C., because I thought it would be a cool way to get to know the owners of the traditional Irish pubs in downtown D.C. And I still remember Will Kelly and Huey Dolan down at the Irish Times. I still remember them.
You talked to me about, you know, being sometimes a little less than honest or upstanding in my activities, but you kind of work the education system. If you're writing an education project on Irish
people.
No, Irish
what
pubs.
I did was I wrote at the recommendation of professors, I wrote about what was interesting to me. And so
okay,
I was able to pull. I was able. What did you say?
Alcohol. Drinking.
I mean,
what did the professor think
with his yellow, with his orange shirt and his mohawk and his yellow background and his crappy motel that he's in right now in Lakeland? I'd be in a crappy mood if I was in Lakeland. It was going
like
to be 50 degrees.
It kind of looks like porn lighting on him, doesn't it?
I turned the light off.
I don't know about you folks. I love the shows where everybody's in different places. It makes me happy. but anyway, as far as the identity of it, it used to be such a big deal for me. And then, you know, when I was later on in my life, I had the opportunity to purchase an Irish pub, and I did, and I put my name on it. It was as I say to people, well, how was it owning an Irish pub? I said, I had 5 years, three of them good.
Yeah,
that's essentially what it was. And the first 3 years, St. Patrick's Day was not only fun because I was Irish and I was in the local St. Paddy's Day parade, but it was the biggest money-making day of my restaurant all year by leaps and bounds, which was lots of fun. However, the baptism of fire was when we opened on, I think it was a Saturday, St. Patrick's Day, which is the craziest one of all. And the parade ended. And in probably 15 minutes, I had 200 people waiting to get into my restaurant. And I got yelled at. And it was like one of the first days I ever owned the place. And I was just walking around. I didn't know what I was doing. I was running it. I was just walking around being, hello, hey, I'm Irish. Hey, there we go, Maris Pub.
You assumed every day would be 200 people trying to get in.
No, I never did that, but we had our good days, and then, of course, the slow decline. Yes, Rob?
I was going to say, I'm sure you have a favorite St. Patrick's Day. When I think St. Patrick's Day, I always recall, and it's not a good memory, but it was so vivid to me, is we were going on the air at 3, and you would come in at about 1:30 or so, I guess, and you came in on St. Patrick's Day, and your ice machine was broken at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was St. Patrick's Day, and you were out of your mind.
Yeah.
And you should be, because I
mean,
that
might have been in one of those 2 years that were bad.
Yeah, I would think maybe. Now, my question is do you have a favorite? It doesn't have to be limited to the restaurant.
No.
Do you have a favorite St. Patrick's Day memory growing up?
I think the there was a day at the Irish pub, at O'Mara's Irish pub, where I got to do two of my favorite things. I got three of my favorite things. My being on display, being the center of attention, being in the St. Patrick's Day parade, followed by my restaurant kicking ass and doing an amazing number. And then the best part of the evening was we would have so many people that we would put a tent outside of the brick and mortar restaurant, and people would come in. And the weather, as you know, always a little weird around the mid-Atlantic. Always kind of screwy. Lots of
March is
stormy.
A weird month. Yeah.
It can be cold. It can be, warm. And then later in the evening, it wasn't really late at night, we would have people out in front of my joint at 5:30 in the morning on St. Patrick's Day. And I'm sure there are pubs around America where people are getting ready to make an entire day of it. And that's just the way they do it. And somehow Thursday always seems like, you know, you're stealing the Friday and maybe starting your weekend early.
Sure.
Tuesday, a little more awkward to have it in the middle of the week. But the reason I tell this story is because when you've got people in a pub all day long, there can be a little problematic situation or two. And so I remember it was the end of a very long day. And as much as I loved having a successful place and being able to be successful when that's happening, you do get a little crispy and people are getting a little drunk and people are getting a little out of hand. And I remember a troublemaker that they were leading out of the restaurant because he was fighting. And they led him out, and one of the best moments of my life, I watched the police officers tase him at my feet multiple times. That brought me
in a
great
way,
deal
like
of joy.
It's symbolic of driving those snakes out of Ireland. You were driving.
I was driving the asshole out of the joint.
And then tasing him.
But the day was. I don't know why when I was a child I felt angst about this. Somebody put that in my head. Probably one of the mean kids that were on my street that used to torture me whatever way they could. It's like, well, I'm wearing orange. That means somebody said something like, I'm wearing orange, so at the Irish or something like that, you know, where I had that kind of anxiety where you should not have had anxiety. As I have grown and come down here, the elderly love St. Patrick's Day. The elderly love to wear green. They love to go out and eat corned beef and cabbage, that type of thing.
Go ahead.
According to Google, green represents Catholic and orange represents Protestant.
I think that's what
the problem.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. It's the the troubles, as we like to call
them. So don't dress your kids in green today.
What does that mean?
Well, I mean, it's good if it's going to attract the Catholics. Why tempt fate?
You're part Catholic. You've done the Catholic thing.
He's making a priest joke.
I know he's making a priest joke. I understand that. And I believe me, I've been around the Irish priest, Father McDonald. And everybody all right?
I'll be back. I don't know.
Wow. I did not expect that.
Is there a spider in the, is there a cockroach in the bathroom? We're going to find out. Look at his face.
I know. He's really worked up today.
He's the one that goes on his little road trips.
Yeah, you know what? You buy your tickets, you take your chance.
Damn right on time on that one, my friend. Absolutamente.
I can remember being in second grade, because I remember the teacher, that if you didn't wear green, you got pinched. And it got to be like an issue in the classroom that people were sneaking up and pinching people that didn't wear green.
I can't not deal with this, Rob. I'm sorry.
I know.
This
I'm
is
just
live
trying
radio.
To pad
I know
a
you're
time.
Trying to be good for your friend.
Was no, that, it's not
because there's only the son and the wife, right?
Yeah. Do you think that it
was
possibly
that the wife screaming?
Well, if it was Owen, it would be like Ned Flanders. When he screams like a girl.
Or it's like Tucker Carlson's laugh.
Yeah.
That they've done on Saturday Night Live, which was hysterical.
That
by
was
the way,
maybe the strongest bit in the entire episode this week. It was great.
So I'm not sure what the scream would be.
Do you want to guess? We can each guess if you like.
Well, this might be something bad. If that's a kid screaming, it's a different story.
Do you think it was a kid? I think it was Kelly.
I do too.
I would have to hear a replay. My guess is that she went into the bathroom And, you know, they've got a shower curtain in the bathroom, right?
Green
and,
watch band.
You're covered. You're absolutely covered.
Yeah.
And then she pulled the shower curtain back. And I imagine it's one shower curtain that just goes inside the tub.
Yeah, but Josh is there. So if it was Josh, like, hanging in the bathtub.
But
there is,
but it could be a corpse. It could be the corpse of Al Kaline laying in the bathtub.
This is too weird. This is the stuff that, you know, I know you want to, like, ignore it, ignore the fact that there's an empty space there, but this is what people live for.
I'm not ignoring it. I'm just trying to figure out what it could be. You know, I'm not trying to diminish it. I mean, everyone who's with us heard the scream.
What is the forget it, I'm halfway home?
Joe. Joe Ardinger.
Joe Ardinger, who hated me ever since that day, right? Why was Joe mad?
Joe and you never got along. I never understood that because Joe is about the most easygoing idiot you've ever met. He liked everybody. And for some reason, you two had friction. But the problem was, is you had set up a table for everyone on the show to come out for St. Patrick's Day.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's a little window into my soul right. Joe and I never got along. That's the way to lay it squarely on me.
I think it was because Joe was a weird guy. I always found it surprising. Mm-hmm. But you had set up a table for everyone in the show plus ones to come and have St. Patrick's Day. I think it was the first St. Patrick's Day at O'Meara's.
I think it was. I think the Junkies came and Big O and Dukes came.
Gorgeous. It was so much fun to get there. But for some reason, the doorman didn't let Joe in because I don't know why. He was supposed to be on a list, and
that
he wasn't.
Changed it, right? Isn't that when it flipped? I think that's when it officially
flipped. That
wasn't
great. It was him and his wife or woman or whatever, Tracy. Tracy, baby.
God, you got a good memory for crap. That is absolutely what happened.
So he didn't get in. And finally, you know, this is almost pre-cell phone. And I get a call on my cell phone, and it's Joe
Rosenbaum. Joe is a tool.
He was.
Is? He's not deceased, is he?
No. Well, I can't comment to him now. I'm sure he's still a powerful force in the power washing business.
Hold on. Josh is coming back here.
Okay.
Josh is coming back.
Oh, he is not smiling.
No, he's not. Yeah. Hi.
Hi there, Josh.
How you doing? How's everything going?
Everything's okay. As I mentioned, this hotel sucks.
Yeah.
And I guess they make their coffee way too hot and then don't provide lids. So we had a coffee spill.
That's all. Thank God. I thought it was something really horrible. Do we have any third degree burns?
Perhaps.
Perhaps. Oh, no.
Things are red. So we'll have to just wait and see.
Okay. Wow.
And just as a clarification, was it Kelly we heard scream?
Yes.
Okay. I hope
Kelly got burned with the
coffee. All right, now listen. I know you're a smart guy, but you have a windfall now. This is it. You can own the motel chain.
Easy.
You can own the motel chain.
Oh, okay. Like the McDonald's lady.
Yeah.
Photographs. And I'm sure in Lakeland, there will be an attorney who would love to take your case.
In a matlock suit.
I see Farrah signs everywhere.
That would be wonderful. I'm relieved that it's not anything more severe, but I'm sorry for her. That did not, you know, she seems like a tough lady. She wouldn't necessarily react like that unless it really hurt. So I'm sorry about that.
It was a lot.
All right. And to finish the story, Mike, by the time Joe called me, I said, well, come on back. I can get you on the list. And he said, forget it. I'm halfway home.
Yeah. And I was hated from that moment. If I wasn't hated before, I was certainly hated after that. I think that's what it was.
It was not a good moment for him. But I had a lovely time.
Joe's happiest moments would be when something would go sideways for me. When I would get in trouble or I would get yelled at by the boss. Wouldn't that be accurate?
I didn't remember
and Joe
that.
Would,
but
and
yeah.
Joe would pile on more than anybody would pile on me.
I think when I would do
the many solo shows where Rob, can you explain to Josh Soroka how it was set up for me to do solo shows? When you're working with someone who is in control to the point of total control.
I was surprised you were allowed to have a solo show.
I was allowed, but it was not. Let's just put it that Rob could probably articulate it better than I could. But it was not. It wasn't where I was set up for success.
No, when the primary talent was not available to broadcast, a lot of times it was snow related. Because I don't know if you know this, Josh, Great Falls, Virginia will get 6 times the amount of snow as anywhere else in the DMV, making it impossible. Impassable roads. So it would be set up for Mike to do the solo show. And eventually I got so we were pretty comfortable with it, where I would run the board and you would be the lead. And then we had whatever staff was the staff in the back room. However, a lot of times we were told behind the scenes stuff that we weren't allowed to do, and then also things that should be saved until the entire staff was there, certain things that would have been what I would call easy home run bits that were held back. And
also, I imagine if he's snowed in, all he's doing is listening and critiquing.
He would call in. Yeah. The calls were better on sick days. If I'm remembering right, this is just one man's recollection.
And Joe, I think I worked with Joe at one point.
Yeah.
And his comment was, I can't work with O'Mara.
Oh, you know why? Because, oh my God, I'd forgotten about this. This is why that didn't ring that fresh for me. When we were by ourselves doing the show after Frida passed, that's when Robert was diagnosed with leukemia. Mm-hmm. So, like, when we were doing a week of solo shows, I got yanked out. So it was you and Joe. And if I had to set up, like, you mentioned the flag earlier of Ireland.
Yeah.
If I had a flag to symbolize that situation, it would be Mike trying to broadcast and Joe tying a rope around Mike and pulling backwards as hard as he could for 4 straight hours.
He was not helpful.
No.
It was not a good time for anybody.
He did not have a co-host energy, I would say.
It was just a weird deal. And, you know, if I can be honest, though, one of my proudest moments when I had the whole cast and crew out to my joint on St. Patrick's Day, and you were talking about some of my best ones. And then I think maybe the week after or the day after or whatever, one of the cast members was told by their spouse, why didn't you come up with that idea? And it was a smooth sailing for me in the restaurant business after that.
Ooh.
So, and as far as...
Did the plugs go away? Were you no longer allowed to mention?
It was never referred to as anything other than Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Yeah, it was almost
as diminishing and derogatory a term you could find for, Hank Kingsley on the Larry Sanders Show, who was the idiot sidekick, and it was his restaurant that rotated.
Well, I'm sure mentioning the name wouldn't have helped your business.
Not at all. No, not one little bit. So it was, just memories that I have. I hate to be negative, but that's really what it was, you know. And then... flash forward to the other sad moment where I, God rest her soul, I think my mom hung on to life through the 18th, but it didn't keep the people in the newspaper from crediting her for passing on St. Patrick's Day.
That's a better story.
Yeah, it was, I think Thursday, March 17th was actually Thursday, March 18th.
I see.
And that's when she had passed away. So, I mean, it's just not, I don't think of it the same way. And now that I know it's going to be 50 degrees down here, I'm really excited about it as well.
Will you have corned beef tonight?
No, last night, and that's a great segue into what I want to talk about. The damage was done yesterday weather-wise to my kid's school. Last night, probably right around the 8 o'clock mark, we get a text, an email from the school saying damage has occurred and they will be closing the school for today.
Actual
damage to the school.
Wow.
And, my son was just crushed as his friend Gio was over, who has spring break this week, and found out that he has the day off with Gio today, and he's out of his mind. Absolutely.
Sure.
My wife informed me, and shortly thereafter, they both come around the couch, and they both are kind of almost holding their hands in a praying way.
Yeah.
And when you see that, Dad, and you know you're going to get a request for something. I pretty much knew it was going to. Yeah. And the big ask. It was no doubt a big ask. Is it, can Gio sleep over? I said, yeah. Mm. You have the day off tomorrow. And they were, the reaction was I got a literal Christmas morning reaction from saying yes to that. And really, in a very short order, this kid Gio has become one of my favorite friends of Michael. Just the nicest kid. Got a great smile, which means that, you know, and this is no aspersions on a kid I don't know that well. That beautiful beatific smile on his face, I think probably inherently he's evil on some level that I don't know about.
But he's got you snowed right now, which is good.
Yeah, and Carla said they were up, because I slept well last night. Thank you, Carla, for the many supplements that put me to sleep and slowly poisoned my body. She said they may have been up till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Now, as a parent, I used to hate when they would close the schools the day before.
Mm-hmm.
I liked when the kids had to get up and go through the motions before the announcement was made, because then it puts something on them.
Right.
But then now it's all mixed up at my house, because if there's a school delay, the bulk of the people that live in my house are affected.
You're a little jealous, too.
Yeah, we never get closings here.
And it's really, you like them going up, listening to the radio, or the crawl at the bottom.
Exactly.
And that doesn't happen anymore. That's yesteryear.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of the primary reasons Rob moved out.
Yeah. Exactly. There's a 2-hour delay on my divorce today.
There it is. So it's fun. Getting back to the whole corned beef and cabbage thing.
Cooking.
There is an outside chance we may, when I emphasize may, try to go out somewhere and grab it. Somewhere like at the local diner where they have a special on it. But it's going to be a senior citizen elbow your way in situation. Yesterday, I was a good wife. And I, as Mrs. O'Mara was slaying the dragon, I went out and I went to the grocery store and bought myself a pot roast, a chuck roast, and decide. Here's what I have not mastered.
Was it Publix?
Yeah, it was Publix.
Great outfit.
I went out there and got myself a roast, and I made in the slow cooker, I made a pot roast. I have not mastered on any level, and it can be any meat whatsoever, pulled pork, it can be chicken, it can be beef. I have not mastered the art of cooking something to such an extent where it's fall apart tender. I don't know how to do it.
First off, I
braise it, I sear it.
You seared it? Okay. Did you have what kind of fluid base, or did you put any fluid base in your crock pot?
I put beef stock along with a packet of onion soup mix in it.
Perfect. The only thing I might add to that is a tablespoon or two of vinegar, because in my mind that helps break down the fibers a little bit, and it's
a
good
flavor
with meat.
That's a great suggestion. I will take it, Alton. I will take it to heart.
Did you cook it on high or low?
High.
Okay. Low for 8 hours.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I should have done it that way. But anyway, it tasted good. It was cooked. But I just am desperate to get it to
any leftovers?
That fall. No, because we had the kid.
Oh,
he's a big boy. You want to talk about a home run hitter, Rob Spiewak?
Yeah.
This kid, I think maybe 20. I'm not kidding you. He is he had 5 RBI in the last travel game that he played, and he hit a 3-run and a 2-run home run. This kid is a
regular Al Kaline.
He's a big boy, and he is a super stud when it comes to batting, and that's good for my kid to be around as well. So
another point about making it fall apart tender is, I know this is not going to work for you now, but if you let it cool in the fridge and then reheat, it's something with the colloidal construction of the cells. They actually change.
Don't bring the anus into
it. No. Colloidal, Mike.
Okay.
Where it actually turns into a different substance. Almost, I'm thinking it's something fat based, but more viscous, and it makes the meat more tender. So if you can cook it, let it go overnight and then reheat it. That's why pot roast is so good the second day, because it actually goes through a chemical change from hot to cold to hot again.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll take that under advisement. I think that, by the way, I'm, Josh, reaching out to a father recommended my son play on this team. They needed somebody, and I left a text, and I waited 3 days, and then I made a phone call, and I still have nothing. Must be nice to be a baseball coach, where you literally don't play by the rules. You don't get to, you don't have to respond to anybody, you know? I mean, that's great.
Text him a video. Show him that he should care about your son.
Like right now, like as I'm doing it right now, you know, you don't know who you're dealing with, pal.
Yeah.
Is that what I should
do? Like, do you really not want this kid on your team?
No, it's just, you know, come on. I mean, just be polite.
Yeah, it's rude.
Baseball coaches aren't polite. They don't play by the same rules everybody plays by.
That's
not the real rules. It's the way it goes. It sucks.
Earl Weaver was terrible with correspondence.
I bet he was. But getting back to it, thank you for the recommendations. We may go out to do that today, but probably not. And I had no idea what the forecast was going to be. Down here, you'll find this, Rob, to be true. In many cases, do you really even pay attention to the weather? Because it's good every day. So you
assume
pay
it's going
to
be great. This is the outlier. Oh, one last corned beef recommendation if you're cooking it tonight.
I'm not going to cook it. I'll go out for it.
I'm talking to anyone within the sound of my voice.
Very good.
If you don't want to cook cabbage, roast Brussels sprouts. You get a similar flavor profile, and it's a little easier, and it's not as sloppy as boiling a big cabbage. So
No, Brussels sprouts are gross.
Brussels sprouts are just like little baby cabbages.
They're not.
They have a different
concentrated, bitter flavor. Regular cabbage is much milder, and regular cabbage can be flavored much more easily, whereas balls of death... known as Brussels sprouts.
Do you ever roast them and not like boil the hell
Carla,
out of them?
Carla, you know what? Get together with Carla and you two.
Oh, she'd love that.
Can eat them till you fart all day long because I can't eat the things. You know that.
Oh.
I don't like Brussels sprouts. And
is it
Brussels sprouts or Brussels sprouts?
I think it's Brussels sprouts.
All right.
Yeah. But you don't like the name and you don't like the vegetable.
No.
Yeah.
Didn't Brussels hold up their hands and let the Nazis walk through their country too? Didn't that happen?
Classic Belgian act. Yeah, just the Belgians, man.
There
I
you
hate
go.
Them.
They gave up on things. All right. Well, that's food. That's St. Patrick's Day. That's people screaming, third degree burns. What the hell more can you get from in a show, you know?
World War II history.
It's crazy. Crazy stuff. We'll be right back here, buddy. It's easier to start this year strong and more delicious with Omaha Steaks. Stay satisfied, get energy, and fuel your routine with premium prepackaged protein delivered to your door. From a handcrafted USDA-certified tender steak to gourmet burgers, versatile chicken and pork, and more, they have an unmatched variety of high-quality proteins that everyone loves. Right now, you can taste the difference and get an extra $35 off at omahasteaks.com with the promo code, it's different, remember that, Mike, at checkout. I don't need to tell you how great Omaha Steaks are, but I will. They are my favorite because they do beef right. Unrivaled quality and variety with every bite. Packed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Every steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand-cut by master butchers in America's heartland. Omaha Steaks has been America's original family-owned butcher since 1917 and still cutting edge. Get it? Let Omaha Steaks deliver high-quality proteins right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com and get an extra $35 off with promo code MIKE at checkout. Remember, new code, so pay attention. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code MIKE. Terms apply. See site for details. That never happens when he's doing his video segment. Ever.
What?
He's never late on it.
He wasn't late there. He got
no.
It.
If yes, anything,
I didn't hear. Chopped it up.
It was a little early.
Oh, okay. So that's why it got chopped off.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. All right. So you know, I the point I wanted to make about meat is that the rules to me don't apply to me. I believe I'm singled out for that. So anyway, hit the news thing again one more time so I can.
Of course.
Hear it. Here we go. Didn't hear any of that first part, which is the key sounder for that. That's the way that works.
He hit it before the video ended.
So he was actually too early.
Yeah.
Omaha has a, that clip has like a black screen at the end.
Programming note to all of our listeners. Today, bonus show subscribers, you will be getting an email in your mailbox today.
Yes.
That will be telling you about our special announcement that you already know about because we made it on last week's bonus show. And for the rest of you, we will have a major, major, major announcement about a big event for the show that's coming up. And that will be tomorrow, Josh Soroka. Yep. Is that when we're putting that out there?
Announcement tomorrow. Bonus show members get access today.
We could not be more excited about it, and everybody will know it tomorrow. Bonus yes. show subscribers, you get a little early dibs on it so that you can make your arrangements today if you are so inclined. So stay tuned for that. Should be very, very exciting. I cannot wait. St. Paddy's Day info for you. St. Paddy's Day with two T's and St. Paddy's Day with two D's. They aren't totally interchangeable. One is more correct, according to Miriam. Is that a lady? Merriam-Webster, or was the last name Miriam?
I think they were partners. There was Miriam and there was Webster.
St. Paddy's Day with D's. It's generally considered more accurate.
Which do you prefer if you were to spell it out?
Because the D's, well, it actually answers why I don't like the D's, and I'll share it with you.
Okay.
So it's generally considered more accurate with the D's because the Patrick is traditionally spelled Padraig, like Padraig Harrington, the golfer,
sure. Yeah.
With the nicknames Payton and Patty. Also, the name Patty with T's is usually short for Patricia. It's worth pointing out, some could also argue that using St. Patty's Day is not cool because Patty can be considered a derogatory English term for an Irish person, but that's all old news, so we don't get pissed off at that. But a negative connotation like that probably wouldn't come out when using it in reference to the holiday, or just call it St. Patrick's Day. But nobody
I don't like St. Patty's. I say St. Patrick's Day.
WalletHub has a list of the best cities for St. Patrick's Day celebrations. The top five, Boston, naturally.
Right.
Reno, Nevada. I always love that because you wouldn't think of it as a great St. Patrick's Day town, but it is. Savannah, Georgia, well-known for very, very exciting. Weren't you there for one St. Patrick's Day with Katie Powers?
I missed it by 1 week, but they explained to me what all went down there, and it's crazy. The town is literally designed for like street partying with their mm-hmm. courtyards and everything. And the city just shuts down for the day. It's crazy.
Here's one that's an outlier, but I have it every year. Same thing. Overland Park, Kansas. Supposed to be a crazy town for St. Patrick's Day. And the last one is Henderson, Nevada, where I know they've got a few casinos out there as
well. Two in Nevada. That's wild.
Yep.
Yeah. No 200 in Florida?
No Lakeland, Florida today. It'll just be colder than normal. Of the 200 cities they considered, Paterson, New Jersey came in dead last. Now, you're a Jersey guy. You know Jersey. Paterson, kind of a meh town to start with, wouldn't you say?
I think Lou Costello from Abbott and Costello came from Paterson, and that's the last highlight of that city.
200 cities surveyed. It's followed by Brownsville, Texas, and Bellevue, Washington. Fine if you're bummed about being last on the St. Patrick's Day thing.
Yeah.
Here's another piece of trivia for you. In 62, Chicago used 60 pounds of green dye to become the first city to successfully dye its river bright green on St. Patrick's Day. Green dye isn't the only thing in the river. Some people recently spotted shark fins.
That's great.
In the Chicago River, which is obviously not possible. I don't know if it's not possible. Right? Bull sharks can live in fresh water, right?
Yeah, and I'm not impressed with the Green River. I would be impressed if D.C. was able to make the Anacostia River light blue.
Very exciting. You'll have to wait for the 4th of July for that.
Of course.
It turned out it was just a stunt in the Chicago River to promote the upcoming Netflix movie Thrash, which I know nothing about. All right.
Well, there was a guy that dove in the Green River in the pit this week. Remember, he came out all green?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or maybe that was Chicago. You know what? Chicago Med. I've been watching
all the medical shows.
Well, Kathy, you know, she'll watch what she wants to watch, and I confuse the two because, you know, I'm not all that vested. My apologies.
Today is all exciting because it's National Corned Beef and Cabbage Day. We already talked about that,
yes.
So deal with that, ladies and gentlemen. Researchers in Finland studied the air around dogs, specifically the microbes they released. Every time a dog moves or scratches, it sends tiny bursts of pollen, fungi, bacteria, and plant debris into the air. Larger dogs can release up to 4 times more microbes than humans. Here's what one of the doctors behind the study said. Exposure to a dog during childhood reduces the risk of developing allergic diseases. And he said making sure that a child is exposed to diverse environmental microbial stimuli seems to be a good idea based on what we know, and a dog can help with that. So, yes, your dog might literally be helping train your immune system. So there's another benefit. Yeah, it's great. Another reason to love dogs and probably sleep with dogs. And make love to dogs. No, I'm sorry.
I did something very similar with Robert. From the age of 2 to 4, I only let him eat peanuts.
Yes, yes, even though he had a severe allergy.
Yeah.
It was touch and go for a while, but it worked out.
It made him tough.
I feel so bad, you know, with my kid with a peanut allergy that he's never had the joy of peanut butter or Reese's peanut butter cups or anything like that. And they say it'll pass, but sometimes it doesn't, so we don't know.
Could he eat, like, pecan butter or any of those weird knockoff butters?
Almond butter he can eat.
Okay, all right, well, so that's something anyway.
How often do you go back and try to see if it passed?
We haven't done it in a really, really long time. It's they do it professionally. We wouldn't give him like a big scoop of peanut butter and see if he stopped breathing.
You always said it's time for daddy's scratch test.
Here, let me put this on the tip of my finger. He's hiving up.
I had a friend that was trying to get into the Naval Academy, and they won't take you with a peanut allergy. So he had to sit there and eat a spoonful of peanut butter in front of the like admiral or whatever. To show he could pass peanut butter.
Did he do it?
He could not. He could not. Oh. He did not get in.
Really? Because he went into anaphylactic shock.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yet we are still winning the war today.
Isn't that exciting, Rob?
It is.
Here's some post-Oscar info. People are blaming celebrities for leaving the Dolby Theater trashed. Everyone had a little snack box under their seat, and it looks like nobody cleaned up after themselves. Two things, though. First, some people have said the pictures were seen of the mess, and they're from the balconies where the celebrities don't sit. Who cares? Oh,
it's the drivel of a society.
That's because the celebrities have people to clean up after themselves.
Mm-hmm. Sources say the audience was told to leave the trash behind to be picked up later. I don't care. Sean Penn had a very good reason for not being in attendance to accept his Best Supporting Actor award, his third, by the way. He was in Ukraine, and he even met with his old pal, President Zelensky. So,
cool.
You know, good humanitarian, Sean Penn, all over the world. Michael B. Jordan and his friend, Oscar, hit up. I didn't know it was Oscar that he went to the Oscars with. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, no. They're talking about the trophy. He took his Oscar to the In-N-Out Burger after the ceremony. Do you get the impression In-N-Out Burger makes up that story for one celebrity every single time they have the Academy Awards?
They have a picture of it. I think it's sort of tradition, I guess, because you always hear it every year. Yeah.
Teyana Taylor had some words with a member of the Oscars security team after he allegedly shoved her. The Academy has apologized. No details on that. You may have noticed that Wendy McClendon Covey was not on stage for the Bridesmaids reunion. Does anybody know the one she is on Bridesmaids?
No, Wendy but McClendon-Covey? I know the actress very well. She was in she's been in TV shows. She's got long blonde hair. She's very funny.
Is she the kind of bawdy, ballsy broad that's on Bridesmaids?
Yeah. Okay. I think so. Yeah.
She was at home. It says recovering from a neck lift. Isn't that special?
Well, we wish her the best. When she was on the Goldbergs on ABC, Mike, she didn't look like she needed a neck lift.
She is very, very funny and was one of the funniest on that show, on that movie. Did Timothy Chalamet tell his sister to go easy on his girlfriend, Kylie Jenner, when they greeted each other? That's what lip reading experts claim. You want to talk about the spotlight. I would be very grateful that I am not in a world where someone's reading my lips to gather what I'm saying
in a public forum. Was that not a plot on Seinfeld where a lip reader was in a restaurant to tell people what someone was saying behind their back?
I'm not sure.
I think it was, but now it's real life, and that's terrific.
The comeback of vinyl records, Rob Spiewak, hit a new milestone in 2025. The Recording Industry Association of America says it surpassed the $1 billion mark in sales last year. You know what? Everything old is new again. That was the first time since 1983 that it hit that number. Swifties are partly to thank for this. Taylor Swift's The Life of a Showgirl was the top-selling vinyl of 2025, and that included 8 versions. The K-pop Demon Hunters soundtrack was also a popular buy. Vinyl was the most popular physical format. 46.8 million records were sold compared to 29.5 million CDs. I thought you'd be happy about that.
I love that, except the reason that the sales are so high is that records are $35 each now.
Okay.
You know, they're expensive. And I'll buy ones that are meaningful to me, but if it's just music, I will stream it or, God forbid, just take it off YouTube.
But you've said before, if you put it on a turntable, there is a different sound quality to it.
If it's something that I love, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Very cool. A 92-year-old man in Galveston, Indiana, recently retired after a record-breaking tenure as a grave digger.
Hey.
He'd been at it for 73 years and 75 days, dating back to 1952, when he was asked to cover the previous gravedigger's shifts. His name is Alan McCloskey, and he even had his record certified by Guinness a few years back. 73 years of grave digging. That's as unbeatable as Cal Ripken Jr.'s 2,000-plus consecutive games. It hasn't always been easy. Alan says he's dug the graves for friends and acquaintances, I would imagine so at that age, and even his wife. Oh, wow. The good thing, though, his wife's was in the backyard.
Yeah, I was going to say, and 2 weeks before she died.
Mm-hmm. Right. Has he started on his own?
I don't know. He's always made sure that every job is done right as a tribute to the dead and their families in mourning. Alan's son even has a Facebook page set up to honor his father's career as a gravedigger, and now he's documenting a bit of his retirement. Well, kudos to you.
Great. And ladies, he's single.
Amen. Thought they did it with like a backhoe now, but I don't know. And you know,
oh, you'd really have to. I mean, a 92-year-old guy with a shovel, he'd kill himself.
I would think so. Yeah. Finally today, a man in Florida was arrested after making two attempts to steal a septic tank from a construction site last
Gross.
Month. Both were caught on video. The first time he tried somehow to haul it away with a Toyota Corolla.
You made this up.
It didn't work with the Corolla. He even got chased away by someone in a Jeep. But the man was persistent. He came back with a U-Haul. And he did manage to get away with the septic tank that time, but not for long. Detectives were able to identify him and track him down. The thief was charged with grand theft, unlawful use of a two-way device, and intentionally obscuring a license plate during the commission of a crime. What did he obscure the license plate with?
I think we all know.
Boo-boo. There you go. Happy Florida, everybody. We'll be back with the Wayne Newton highlights from Miami, Woo! Florida, ladies and gentlemen. DermGlowSkin.com. That's where February health starts, because this month on TMOS, it's all about feeling better, having more energy, and getting back to feeling like yourself. We talk a lot about telehealth and doctor-prescribed GLP-1s because they support weight management by reducing cravings, helping with portion control, and taking some of the mental battle out of food. It all starts with a simple online medical assessment, easy and discreet. And how about this? There's something new. It's called Elate Spray. I'll say it out loud. Elate Spray. It's a doctor-prescribed nasal spray designed to support desire, circulation, and emotional connection. You'll have better circulation than a Jetstream oven. Personalized care delivered straight to your door. And yes, there are payment plans available. Klarna is a favorite, and HSA and FSA are accepted. So if February is your month to focus on health, confidence, and feeling good again, head to DermGlowSkin.com. Click on the Weight Management and Peptides button and get started with a simple online assessment. That's DermGlowSkin.com. So Carla contacted me. You'll notice she's talking in the background. She requested that Rob Spiewak isolate the vocal that you may have heard in the background. So Rob spent some time and isolated that from that commercial, and we'll play that for you now. Rob, play the isolated vocal.
We used AI, Mike, to get it. Let me
Very good.
Okay.
Let's listen.
That's all we have.
So you went to the Wayne Newton intimate, smaller venue show, although the, up, you know, thousands
up close and personal.
I decided I would get closer to my fans, and I'm very excited about that. So Wayne and his plastic surgery.
I had to cross town lines. I went into Fort Lauderdale last night, Mike, to the Parker.
Good for you.
And it was obviously a big deal because I wanted to get there early. I was running late. And when I got there, I had no problem getting a good parking spot, which I first attributed to just being lucky. Mm-hmm. But it turned out that when the show started, the place was maybe between one-third and one-half full.
Last
four rows were empty. Because I think a lot of people did the walk around and found better seats.
Oh, they gotta get that black fabric and just cover up those seats.
They really should.
So that's kind of sad. So his audience has officially kind of aged out. Then,
well,
right?
I was easily the gravedigger. I was easily the youngest person there. But when I say that, that's saying something because I'm 55 now. I can live in a senior community, but I was still the youngest person there. Now, I do think he's going to get coverage in the Fort Lauderdale Press because in the side aisles that were photogs with the long lenses, like the 12-inch, 14-inch lenses for news. So it was sort of a big deal. I went in, and I didn't want to sit down right away. So I went over, and I looked at the merchandise table for Wayne Newton. Do you know what his best item was? I mean, he had T-shirts, he had hats, he had all this stuff, of course. But for $5, you could buy Wayne Newton lip balm.
You know, Rob, it wasn't that long ago that you, Don, and me, we went out to see Wayne Newton, and it was
2006.
Packed.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
Was it that long ago?
It was 20 years ago. Yeah, I thought about it.
God, time flies. Oh, my God. So, and in Miami, I mean, Fort Lauderdale, you can't fill the joint.
But here, I will say something here that really did impress me, is that it was an old crowd, and it was not a big crowd, but he still came out at age 83 and gave it everything. It was like he was playing a stadium show. I really appreciate that. I thought it was great.
I don't think he's ever played a stadium show.
No, but he had the excitement. He had that same... There was no diminishing of what he was giving.
Tell me, since it's my favorite part of any live show, tell me about the intro. Tell me what they do.
It started with tapes of Jack Benny and Bobby Darin, audio tapes, talking about how great he was. They played sort of a version of 2001 A Space Odyssey, like Elvis used to open with.
That's the one I saw when he came out in the spacesuit in Las Vegas.
No spacesuit here. Josh, let's go with the open. We can see Wayne come out. Wayne Newton.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be here, and here he is. Here he comes. Viva Las Vegas.
Man, he is giving it all. Look at him dressed to the nines.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he has no voice. Okay, enough of that.
Who's singing in back of him? Who's singing the backtrack?
A lady. That turns out later.
One lady?
It's his wife. I didn't realize that until he announced it at the end of the show. Now, Mike, there was one moment that I know you will enjoy.
Of course.
When I was looking at the merch, there was a lady also looking at the merch with a husband who seemed to be not all that pleased to be there. And so he was tired of looking at the merch, and he said, I'm going to get a drink. And she just kept looking at the merch and waited and waited. And then he said, do you want a damn drink?
Not happy at all. Look, everybody gets older. I'm getting older. And we get it. We understand it. Kudos to him. The thrill of the entrance, I'm sure, was fun for you.
It was fun. And then Early in the show, he introed his band, which surprised me. You'll note he has a piece of paper in front of him. The man has been in show business since 1959. I would think he would know the members of his band.
Well, if they're touring the country with like a three-piece band, you would think he'd know, right?
Well, yeah.
But isn't this probably a new band, not one he works with all the time?
Oh, like somebody on the road that, oh, like that he gets maybe musicians.
Mm-hmm. He made it seem like it was his band. Let's look at a little bit of the band intro.
Okay. Martin Hand. Take him out, Martin. And this next band, ladies and gentlemen.
His voice.
One of my dear friends in the world. He's one of the most talented people I've ever known. And he lives down here. And I called him and I said, we're going to be there. And you are going to be there playing guitar, aren't you? And he said, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ron Bloom, right there he is.
Okay, so now you've heard him talk. Thank you, Josh. When he introduces his drummer,
how many pieces? How many pieces in the band?
I think seven were up there. Piano, synth, okay. Drummer, two guitars. And the drummer, when he introduced the drummer, I almost dropped my phone because he has the same drummer that he had when we saw him years ago.
How do you know this?
Because I had his number in my cell phone. And I went and looked, and that's the guy that got us backstage.
So that's the fan of the old Don and Mike show.
I was able to text him after the show, and he sends his best. He loves us. He still loves us. And it was very, very cool.
So making money with Wayne. Good for him.
Yeah, he's been with him for like 30 years.
That's cool.
As you know, Mike, Wayne Newton, he plays 13 different instruments. Including
all of them perfectly.
Including the slide guitar.
Is that the wife up in the right?
Yep, in the glittery dress. All right, just to let you know that he was playing the slide guitar in 1959, because we saw a clip of it, and he's still playing it. That's enough, Josh. But he also played guitar. He played some other stuff. I became intimately aware from moment one he has no singing voice anymore. But occasionally, he'd pull a note out of nowhere that was right. And it was exciting when he hit it. He did a little tribute to Elvis Presley. Did he tell a story?
By the way, I don't know how I feel about this segment because I don't know whether to be totally sad or the mocking seems now like not appropriate because he's so old now.
Mike.
And, you know, I don't know how I feel. It's almost there's a sweetness to Wayne at this point, right?
I will tell you this before we continue. I was going in ready to be snarky and have a laugh at the man at his expense. I had a blast. It was pure show business. He never let the momentum go down. He told stories. There was videos. It was really great. Although I was worried when he sang this song by Elvis Presley, Can't Help Falling in Love with You.
This is it's not an voice, easy, I would think. Do you think the performing? I can't do that anymore. Do you think that it's just the wear and tear of that many shows that have tanked the vocal cords at this particular point?
I would think so. Can I play you two more little things?
You can play me, Rob. You're in mourning. You can play anything you want. Can I just say this before we watch this next tape?
Yeah.
I am thrilled to death that you are distracting yourself and you're going out and doing something fun like this. I say more power to you. This is great. And your dad would give you a thumbs up on this as well.
Oh, my dad would have loved this recap. I had last night such pure fun for 90 minutes that maybe that's why I had such a good time.
Important question. Would your dad have gone to the show with you?
Yeah, I think he would have.
I don't think HBS would have been in the car with you going to their show.
I think if he, 5 years ago, I think it's a yes. He went and saw Jerry Lewis with me.
All right. Then I stand corrected. Very good. All right.
Did Wayne sing the hits? Indeed, he did. Let's have a little bit of Donkashane, Josh.
Okay, very good.
Thank you. nice Irish song.
I can't understand him.
He said it's a nice Irish song.
You know, he knows what that theater looks like.
Yeah,
okay,
enough,
thank you.
Enough, yeah.
He knows what that theater looks
like. No, he doesn't. The lights are too bright. I think they turned the lights up so he doesn't know.
No, I don't think he's that out of it that he wouldn't know that.
No, he knows, and I'll tell you why. Because if you thought for a moment he wasn't going to do something to salute the military, you're wrong. Because he brought up the house lights and had everyone stand that was a first responder or a military current member of the military or a past member.
I get
and
it.
And he sang America the Beautiful, and it was... So Wayne,
He's the showbie. Listen, Josh.
That's why I had so much fun because it was so show busy.
Josh, it's hard to describe why we love this so much, but this is what I like to call show business schmaltz.
Oh yeah,
and the show. He is really one of the last living showbiz schmaltzy guys, and that's what we have always gotten a kick out of. It's just so slicky and slimy. And
all
Vegas-y.
The ad libs are prepared with little drum hits on them.
It's sad.
It's not though, and I'll tell you why. Because as he goes through and tells the story of his career interspersed with music, you realize he really has worked and known everybody.
He has, and he's been able to make fun of himself over the years.
He did a whole segment about his role in National Lampoon's Vegas Vacation,
right?
And that. Some of the most funny stuff in it was stuff he came up with, like when he answers the door in his karate gi. That was Wayne Newton's idea. So he knows how to make fun of himself. Now, I mentioned he plays a lot of instruments. This was great. I love this. You can start this, Josh, because it has a little bit of a role. He pulls out his white violin. It's an electric violin to play Orange Blossom Special.
He's done that for 50 years.
And you know what? It still kills. It's great. I'm sorry. It's just great.
He said great, Josh.
Come on, look at this.
Little behind, Rob.
He's 83.
I know.
Have some kindness.
I understand. Sorry.
All right, that's enough.
All right, thank you.
But I found it thrilling.
I am so glad you had a good time. I am so glad.
But it doesn't get as schmaltzy as possible until he does his closing speech. And okay. Josh, we're skipping the one more. Let's go to his closing speech.
Oh, no.
All right. Oh, hold on. I don't think that. Let me bring up the closing speech. Did I make
okay,
that
sorry
one?
About that.
I'm cringing a little bit here already.
Mike, if you had the 90-minute marinade in Wayne that preceded this speech, you'd be okay with it because he softened you with it. Are you ready? Okay. Here we go.
It really does not matter how it all ends for me. The only thing that matters in life for any of us are the hearts and souls that we touch along the way. And I would like to thank you because you have no idea how many times you've touched my heart and my soul. And I dedicate this next song to you, and I want to thank you.
Oh, somebody's going to the car already.
Goodbye.
That's it. That symbolizes all of it.
Okay, cut it, Josh. That was he closed with my way.
I hate the entitled elderly down here.
Me too.
I hate them. Get up and get out. Oh, my God.
Two last points. I do want to thank Mark Atkinson, who is his drummer, who was so nice to respond to me last night and send his love to the entire show. Mark, I know you're listening, and I really appreciate it. Also, the talk I heard on the way out, Mike, this will allow me to introduce a new voice, which is Florida Man, next to my older Florida woman. And here is the conversation I heard.
Oh, you recorded it?
No. I have it in my mind. I didn't think there was any more to gather until I was in the lobby.
Okay.
And the man said, I still don't understand why Sylvia didn't come tonight. And then the lady says, well, Sylvia said that she doesn't even know who Wayne Newton is. And then he said, "Well, he's only the king of Las Vegas." And the lady said, "That didn't matter to Sylvia." So I'm sorry you missed the show, Sylvia. If you see Wayne Newton up close and personal, don't pay above the ticket price, but go see it. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed myself.
And he said no matter how it ends for him. And, for Wayne, Rob, I hope it ends on a stage somewhere.
I did too. Really, you know, when I texted the photo to you guys last night and Carla replied, "He's still alive," and I replied, "We'll see." Because yes, it was still early in the show.
And as BC Travis says, at least he didn't lip sync to his songs.
No, he did one thing that was so cool. Like, everyone was talking about Paul McCartney singing a virtual duet with John on his last tour, right, where they used the remastered vocals. He did a virtual duet from back in like 1972 with Sammy Davis Jr., where it was a film of them duetting, but he did his vocals live. But Sammy was at the top of his game. It was great. It was just a lot of fun.
That's
so go
good.
See it. And you know what? It really is a look back at showbiz that we're not going to have much longer.
I know. And I love that you love it so much. And I love that you went out and saw Wayne. And to that drummer again, let me say hi to him again.
Mark Atkinson. Good
Mark
guy.
Mark Atkinson, thank you very much. We will be right back with some baseball talk with me and Josh right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Do you ever stop and wonder if any modern-day idiots walk among us during these desperate times? Well, they most certainly do. They're the dorks who gladly listen to the free show Monday through Thursday without being a part of the TMOS bonus show family. This is rude behavior, to be sure. But do we hate you? No. We just wish you all the joy that comes with unfettered access to all the TMOS content, because better access means more fun. You deserve more, like our state-of-the-art TMOS extras, fun and unpredictable extra content that you won't get anywhere else. Or sign up for commercial-free TMOS, which also includes the bonus show every week. Remember, your bonus subscription is the power behind everything TMOS. So when you grab that bonus subscription, you're making sure all the great stuff keeps on a-coming. For additional details, visit the bonus show tab at MikeOmaraShow.com. Get on it! Grip it. Rip it.
You know, I have to say this in the comments. When I get hate in the comments, it just exhilarates me a little bit.
I love
it. Because it reminds me of the old days. Nobody whines. This is Clifford Curtis, 5220. Clifford, I'm giving you what you want here. You got noticed. Nobody whines more than Mike. Bagging, he writes, okay, for money every day. Yet it's the only podcast that breaks every day. What would he be referring to by breaking every day, Josh Soroka? Would you have any idea?
I don't know.
How are you doing, Josh? How are you doing right now?
There's about four people who complain every day. I don't know what they're talking about. They're never happy. You can't make them happy. I've left groups because of these people. They send emails and screenshots of the group I then left. So I've had to mark them as spam. So there's some people you'll just never make happy. So
Judge them. And then somebody writes, "Don't judge them, Mike."
I have to wonder, Mike, if there's two ways breaks could be. Break could be when we release a show every day and it breaks. Or it could be that he thinks somehow the show gets broken every day. And I don't know that a podcast can break.
No, we take commercial breaks every day.
Yeah.
Sometimes for me, though, I don't know. It's my broken personality that getting a little hate means we're doing something right.
Mike, when the end comes near.
Oh, it's so sad. It is.
I'm glad
it made you happy.
It truly did.
That's fantastic.
Mike, before we talk baseball. Yes. Could I share the new podcast coming out by Podcasters Warehouse today?
Oh, yes. Podcasters
Warehouse. Oh, it drops today.
Oh,
right.
Do we have a timpani of any kind? I don't have my timpani handy, but this is great news, and I'm really glad that these guys have decided to come back. Lay it on us, Josh Soroka.
Mm-hmm. So Tony Perkins and Gary Stein are back.
Yes.
The show is now called You Gotta Be Kidding Me, and episode 1 drops today. I brought a little clip
Okay, well, yeah. Here we go. This is Tony and Gary.
Let me tell you, I mean, podcasts, I love it. That's where, you know, I don't, that's what I want to do. I don't want to do TV or radio. Now, no disrespect to TV or radio people, I mean, but who cares, you know? Well, I mean, you know, no disrespect, you know, they had their day. But podcasting, that's what I really want to do.
Good.
Is Gary, all right, Gary...
It's also their first time, Mike, on video. It's a video podcast. First time on video.
Is that Gary really looking at Tony, or is Gary pretending to look at Tony?
Stage direction, so they looked at each other,
All right.
That is their producer lining them up.
Okay. Are you their producer?
I am not their producer.
You're not their producer. Rob is?
Yeah. Rob is, yes.
Rob, can we maybe work on the background for Gary Stein just a little bit? Just to, you know, make sure that there's a little something in back of him?
Sure,
you know?
Yeah. We're very happy to capture the audio as well as we did. And, you know, always we're tweaking. Always.
You're very happy to capture the audio as well as you did.
It sounds
I'm focusing
great.
On the audio as opposed to the video. Yes, we know that there are tweaks that need to be made.
Yeah, okay. It sounds great. It's their first time on video.
Okay. Oh, it is. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know
that.
The
last show was not video.
Oh, yeah. I did not know that. I did not know. How many are they planning on doing?
One a week?
7,000. I don't know. What type of number do you want?
I don't care. I'm asking. I don't know anything about this. Right. I'm asking you guys, what is a Day Zin attitude? I'm just trying to promote what you forced me to promote in this segment.
Yes, I forced you. Yes.
You did. You just said, how many do you want?
Let me feel this.
It is a weekly show every Tuesday.
Weekly podcast that will drop on Tuesday. And they're very excited. And if you ever listened to their show in the past, they came out of the gate running. It sounds exactly the same energy and the same excitement. It's just such a funny show. I had a blast with it. So check it out.
I periodically pop on with Gary and give him he writes some really nice posts about his family and Nova Scotia and things that mean a lot to me, so it's very cool. I wish them, and of course if you don't know, Tony and I were classmates at American University together, and I have watched Tony reach for the absolute pinnacle of television broadcasting, being on Good Morning America, and then I think probably working at more television stations in Washington D.C., settling
Mike,
now on NBC in Washington, D.C.
He's worked at every station in Washington, D.C., if you count ABC National, as Channel 7. He's worked at them all, and he's great. But he loves doing this. I mean, he's such a solid anchor and newsreader, but he has said that doing this podcast is the favorite thing he's ever done, and it's so nice to have him back.
Daniel Thurber writes, Rob is an ancient queen, Mike is an Irish golfer, and Josh is a lover of Jesus and sports. I think we are doing great, boys. Happy St. Paddy's Day. Thank you, Daniel. Right back to you. All right. WBC World Baseball Classic. Yes. Been watching the highlights. Did not watch the live game last night. Josh Soroka, pretty tidy little victory by Venezuela over Italy last night.
Yes.
I have to say this. As much as I bleed red, white, and blue, it would be the upset of upsets if Venezuela was able to pull off a victory against the United States. I don't think it can happen. Do you?
No, I don't think it'll happen. But we'll see. I mean, you never know in these games. That's what's fun about baseball, is anything can happen in any game. People have good days, bad days, and this is just a one game championship. So
it's so quick. That's what I love about it. I love that you have the two quarterfinals, and then bam, you're right there, and we've got the game tonight, the championship. The energy that has been brought to. I would have liked to see Dominican Republic against the United States, but I think really, if you had to have another one, Venezuela will be the same Miami energy going into tonight's game. Don't you think?
Yeah, it'll be packed. There's lots of energy. Every team, even if Italy made it, Italy was not supposed to make it as far as they did, and they brought a bunch of energy and fun.
Is every team in Miami for this? Do they all come like almost like an Olympic event? They all come to, or is it played
in
different
games
places?
In Japan, Houston, Miami, and I think there might be one other location.
Then I guess that sort of destroys my hope that Wayne would sing the national anthem tonight.
He might still be in town.
I'm in town.
I think it's pretty obvious that I'm flying commercial.
The one thing I wanted to ask you about the WBC, do you think that that the Dominican Republic would have had a better shot at beating the United States? I think they would have too.
I think so. But I thought Japan had a really good team and they didn't make it. They got knocked out by Italy. So anything can happen.
Thank you, Linda. We appreciate the super chat. And we have do you have some beautiful videos standing by for us, Rob Spiewak?
Mike, I've got some tape of Wayne Newton that you're going to
No
more Wayne. Yeah, I've got beautiful video. I promise.
We'll do that when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
It's always a good time to better yourself. It seems like lately everyone's trying to clean up their habits, like Rob. And honestly, having one less drink has never felt easier for him. Instead of pouring a cocktail, Rob has been reaching for Sol's out-of-office drinks. Sol makes feeling good simple. They make delicious hemp-derived CBD and THC products with precise dosing, clean ingredients, and formulations designed for predictable feel-good effects. Sol is the alcohol alternative that puts you in control of your mood, and their best-selling out-of-office gummies deliver a customizable, calming buzz. From a 1.5 milligram microdose for a gentle lift to 15 milligrams for a deeper, more elevated experience. Josh is a gummy guy, too. He knows it's the easiest way to unwind without the grogginess or next-day regret of alcohol. Stay tuned for a Sol gummy announcement that will change your life. Give yourself the gift of a healthier unwind at the end of your day. Right now, Sol is offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to GetSol.com and use the code TMOS. That's GetSol.com, promo code TMOS for 30% off. Be a Sol survivor.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
60s.
60s on 6.
Mike, I think a lot of our news coverage, and I don't know if it's because they run things fast and loose or what the deal is, or because it's over in Los Angeles, KTLA Los Angeles has a lot of stuff happening all the time. I think it's because one of the things, they have a copter and they can do the traffic things, but they had some great live, unless someone could spill hot coffee, this is about the greatest live event you could see on television. Here's KTLA talking about a bear living under a house.
Good morning. I'm Erin Myers in Monrovia. A bear attacked a woman walking her dog in this neighborhood, and now they're trying to determine if it is the same bear that lives underneath the house here behind me. All those details coming up.
Was she prepared for that cutaway?
Yeah.
I'm not
sure.
Where
we all see.
Wait for it.
That bear off to the right side. We'll get back with Erin in just a moment. We all know California.
I see it now.
Okay, let's go back to Erin Myers. We're going back now.
Come on now.
Erin,
let's go to one.
Come on.
And be careful,
come on.
Please.
Now, that truck is a bear trap.
Actually walking into the trap, or nope, it was going to, but now it's walking out. We're going to step back a little
bit. It is huge.
It's massive.
We're told by the man who lives here that this bear has been here for several months, and they do believe it has a baby that's also living in the house.
Look at it.
Oh, my God.
We may get back in the car depending on what it does, but right now you can see it here in the driveway. They say he usually or she usually comes out a couple times a day. And just hangs out in this neighborhood a lot. You can see her right there going onto the grass. And they don't know. I do want to say they don't know if this was the bear that attacked the person walking.
That's enough, Josh.
That
but I do have a couple
have
questions.
What is it? You know what? You're rolling a video of bear. I can't stop staring at
it. I could watch
it.
That bear all day.
I was going to say the exact same thing. What is the human fascination that even
we love
with
bears.
There's something about bears. I don't know.
It could kill us.
Yeah, but
it's bigger than us.
Yeah, here's the problem, though. For months, a guy has had a bear living under his house. And I'm sorry that it killed the dog, but don't you think this is something you would address with a certain amount of urgency?
I would.
If you had
a
bear living under you. I mean, that ain't termites. That's a bear.
I would think so. It's a weird story. Obviously, though, it's local news, so don't expect anybody to ask any important questions about it.
No,
it ain't
the only
happen.
Important question was, well, we might get in the car if it gets any closer, but yeah, we're going to throw it back to the street.
Oh. There, show the video. Thank you.
Mike, I know you wear the big Bob Hope Apple headphones. Do you ever wear AirPods?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, well, I mean, the headphones that I use regularly when I'm not on the show are AirPods Max, which essentially right. are headphones as well.
Yeah, but these are the little guys that you stick in your ear. I have some. I always feel they've never fallen out on me, but they always feel like they're loose. Yeah. Like they might come out.
I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
There is sort of an internet trend now saying that we've been wearing them wrong all along. I want your thought on this video.
We've all been wearing our AirPods incorrectly. My boy just sent me this viral post, and apparently you're supposed to insert them into your ear and turn towards your face until snug. And based on however you interpret that, it's supposed to leave you with something like this. But now my music keeps playing upside down.
Okay, that's funny. But I tried it, and it doesn't seem to work for me. And also, wouldn't that mute the ability for you to talk on the phone with them?
Yes, and your ability to tap and all that.
Right, right.
And that guy just has the perfect size ears that it fits when he flips it over.
All right, so it's not true. Everybody, it's not true. God, all right, thank you, Apple. I mean, but they don't. The bottom line with the AirPods is they don't fit perfectly in most people's ears.
And yet they stay in. Why is this?
Well, I mean, I use these. I can't even tell you the brand name of the ear monitors that I use for the show.
Yeah, but they hook over with wires. Yeah, so they stay in.
It's but like what they call an IFB in television.
Mm-hmm. Interrupted foldback, Mike.
Yes, that's it. That's exactly what it is. Thank you, Rob.
Let's close with this, Josh. A new tape has been, well, not a new tape, but a tape has been newly circulated. It's actually a few years ago from COVID. This is the baseball announcer with the fastest reflexes you've ever seen. Let's take a look at Jeff Haxton.
Pitch. Coming right back at us.
Yeah!
Oh!
Oh,
that's great.
With a bare hand snag. Great play, Jeff Haxton.
My hand hurts so bad right now.
Play it again. Play it one more time if you can. I want to see this.
Great camera work.
Oh, and fantastic.
And great sound, pitch. Too.
Coming right back at us.
Yeah! Oh! With a bare hand snag.
I love that.
Great play.
That's awesome. Promote him to the major leagues. That's what I say. Absolutely.
And that, Mike, that is your beautiful video.
Josh, you were going to say something?
No, I was just going to point out that had to be college.
What are your plans today? Are you going to be trying to go out to the ballpark?
Or Starbucks? I don't
know. It's cold and expensive. I might just go home. We'll see.
Okay, have fun.
Yeah.
Fun's the best thing to have. Hey, thank you for all your participation on the comments today. It was a lot of fun. We enjoyed that. And thanks for the Wayne Newton. Now listen, bonus show subscribers, you are going to get an email today that's going to give you all the info on what we talked about on the bonus show. If you didn't hear that, well, you're not a bonus show subscriber. And a major announcement tomorrow for everybody else on the show. That's what you have to look forward to. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. For Josh Sirok and Rob Spiewak, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Love you, Pop.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I pooped myself one time.
Hey! Nice beaver.
Sunflower seeds!